big one. Let's see. I don't know how I'll use this. Let's just try this for now. I was born about 1,000 years ago. There ain't nothing in the world that I don't know. I seen Peter, Paul, and Moses playing ring around the roses, and I'll lick the guy that says it isn't so. Now there's a chorus here, and it goes something like this. I was born about 1,000 years ago, and you go, years ago. There ain't nothing in the world that I don't know, I don't know. And I sail the seven seas, and I sail the seven seas, in my dirty dungarees, in my dirty dungarees. But I never, ever, ever saw a mermaid. But I never, ever, ever saw a mermaid, a mermaid. All right, now the second part won't be call and response, but I saw Satan when he looked the garden o'er. I saw Adam and Eve driven from the door. From the bushes I was peeping, I seen the apple they was eating, and I swear that I'm the guy that ate the core. I was born about 1,000 years ago, years ago. There ain't nothing in the world that I don't know, I don't know. And I sailed the seven seas in my dirty dungarees, but I never, ever, ever saw a mermaid, a mermaid. I saw Jonah when he was swallowed by the whale. I never thought he'd live to tell the tale. Well, see, Jonah'd eaten garlic, and he gave the whale the colic, and he burped him up and let him out of jail. I was born about 1,000 years ago, years ago. There ain't nothing in the world that I don't know, I don't know. Well, I sailed the seven seas in my dirty dungarees, but I never, ever, ever saw a mermaid, a mermaid. I saw Israel at the Battle of the Nile. The arrows, they was flying thick and fast and wild. I saw David with his sling pop Goliath on the wing, and I was doing 40 seconds to the mile. I was born about 1,000 years ago, years ago. There ain't nothing in the world that I don't know. Well, I sailed the seven seas in my dirty dungarees, but I never, ever, ever saw a mermaid, a mermaid. I saw Samson when he laid the village cold. I seen Daniel tame the lions in their hold. I helped him build the Tower of Babel up as high as we was able, and there's a lot of other things I haven't told. I was born about 1,000 years ago. There ain't nothing in the world that I don't know. Well, I sailed the seven seas in my dirty dungarees, but I never, ever, ever saw a mermaid, a mermaid, a mermaid. All right, all right. yes, sir. So let's see. I'm going to talk about different ways that people relate to the natural world. And we're going to sort of hear some of these ways in stories, in songs, in jokes, and tales. And I know we're primarily concentrating on the Southern Appalachians while we're here and on the Appalachian region in general. But I did talk to a couple of New Englanders here. And I even talked to a fellow from Lubeck, Maine, and it just brought me back to a whole lot of time in New England, and I thought I would just like to sort of tell you some fishing stories in various forms. And I'd like to start up in New England and sort of talk to you about a few different techniques of fishing and give you some ballads and songs that have to do with that, and then we'll kind of move down in through the South, and who knows where we'll be by the time we're through. And what I'd like to... how many of you know what a herring wire is? Well, I bet you know herring. Herring is them little fish that up in Maine, they take them, they put them in cans, call them sardines, right? Okay. Well, I had a chance to talk with some herring fishermen, and I got to just talk to them with different ways that they fished. And one of the ways they fish is a wire. Now, they pronounce it Weir, but it's spelled W-E-I-R, and what this involves is a set of pilings that go out into a cove, And then a net is stretched on the pilings, and they go out straight from the shore. And then at the end, there's like a corral on the outside. And the corral could be, 20 yards across and have an opening in it that was as big enough for a boat to go through. And yet it's shaped in a funnel shape so that these, and then nets are set on these poles. And so that when herring come through, they swim along until they hit the net, and they swim out, and they go into this little corral on the end. And even though there's a big opening, the way the net is set up, these fish, just instinct-wise, do not have what it takes to make that corner and turn around and go back out of the weir. Now, a weir fisherman, now it's interesting that also the Seneca Indians on rivers like the Cheat River, down in these areas, in sort of big flat areas, would be aware of spawning runs of different kinds of suckers and different kinds of fish that would come up the river. And they would set up a similar version of a weir, but on a smaller scale. And they would set it up right in the river, and they would weave brush enough to make the fish force them up into this particular curve into this little corral, and then they would spear them. Well, what the fishermen in Maine do is what they have to do is in the fish come in the night, and the weir fisherman has to go out at the low tide at night. Now, if the low tide comes at 3 o'clock in the morning and there's a cold rain, he's still got to go out and check that weir, because the fish don't come in just every day, and they may only come in one or two times the whole summer. If they come in three or four times, that guy makes a lot of money, makes a whole year's worth of wages. But sometimes the fish never come in. So it's this incredibly tedious work where you got to go out there just on the slight hope that they're going to come in. And you have to go out there at night. You have to go there when the tide's low. Because if you go out there and you find there are herring in the weir, what the fishermen do is they take a piano wire or the wire from a 6-volt coil, and they have a weight on it, and they drop it down in there, and they feel the weir. And what they feel is they feel the fish bumping against this little wire as they're swimming through in this school. And an experienced weir fisherman can tell not only how many fish he's got in the weir, but how big they are, just by the feel of the fish bumping on that weir. And it's just an incredibly sensitive, honed skill that these fishermen know. The one thing, and then if they do get fish, then he has to call a couple of his friends. They put a seine net around, a purse net, and they call it a purse net because it draws up like a drawstring purse on the bottom. And they calls a couple of his buddies on, and they come in and they haul those fish in, and then they take them to the fish factory. Now, at the fish factory, they take the fish and they use almost every part of it. If they're big sardines, they can them and they chop them up in little pieces and call them sardine steaks. If they're little ones, they call them, they call them bits and pieces, and they have whole sardines. And then they take all the heads, and they sell the heads and some of the entrails to the lobster fishermen. The lobster fishermen use them for bait. And then they take some whatever's left over after that. They take that and they sell it to the fertilizer factories. And then before they get them out of the weir, when they pump them out of the weir, they use a big pump. And they have this little gauge that the fish get forced through. And when it forces them through, it extracts the scales from the fish. And they take the scales, they put the scales in these baskets with little slits in them so that they'll drain, and they save the scales. And nowadays, they're getting paid more money for the scales than they are for the fish. And the reason they're getting paid more from the scales is because they extract an ingredient called pearl essence. Now, I happen to have a bottle of pearl essence that came from northern Maine. I put a little bit in this bottle. And you can see what it does is it gives that mother of pearl appearance. And they use it mostly for cosmetics, for eyeshadow, for fingernail polish, So when you see some lady all duded up, with that eyeshadow on, you just know she's got old fish scales smeared all over her, And it's kind of, it's sort of amazing. Well, there's a what I was going to do is do a poem type ballad about a fellow who ran a fishing weir. But before I start, since you guys seem to be such good singers, I would love to do this song all about herring. And it sort of makes fun a little of that using all the parts of the fish. And it goes something like this. And has a chorus. This will be the chorus that you all get involved in. And of all the fish that swim in the sea, the herring is the one for me. How are you today? How are you today? How are you today, me henny ho? Now you see, that's a greeting. That's a greeting of how you would greet your sweetheart if you lived in the Maritime Provinces in Canada. And so it goes something like this. Let's see if you can get with this here. And of all the fish that swim in the sea, the herring is the one for me. How are you today? How are you today? How are you today, me henny ho? And then the other part goes like this. Oh, what do you do with a herring's head? And then the call and response part goes, you all go, oh, what do you do with a herring's head? Oh, let's see, let's try this here. And then we go, we make it into a loaves of bread. And you all go, loaves of bread, herring's head, loaves of bread, and all manner of things. All right, let's just start from the scratch here. Oh, what do you do with a herring's head? Oh, what do you do with a herring's head? We make it into loaves of bread, herring's head, loaves of bread, and all manner of things. And of all the fish that swim in the sea, the herring is the one for me. How are you today? How are you today? How are you today, me henny ho? Oh, what do we do with the herring's eyes? Oh, what do we do with the herring's eyes? We bake them into pudding and pies, herring's eyes, pudding and pies, herring's head, loaves of bread, and all manner of things. And of all the fish that swim in the sea, the herring is the one for me. How are you today? How are you today? How are you today, me henny ho? Oh, what do you do with a herring's fins? Oh, what do you do with a herring's fins? We make them into needles and pins, herring's fins, needles and pins, herring's eyes, puddings and pies, herring's head, loaves of bread, and all manner of things. And of all the fish that swim in the sea, the herring is the one for me. How are you today? How are you today? How are you today, me henny ho? Oh, what do you do with the herring's scales? Oh, what do you do with the herring's scales? We take them and we paint our nails, herring scales, painted nails, herring's fins, needles and pins, herring's eyes, puddings and pies, herring's head, loaves of bread, and all manner of things. And of all the fish that swim in the sea, the herring is the one for me. How are you today? How are you today? How are you today, me henny ho? Oh, what do you do with the herring's guts? Oh, what do you do with the herring's guts? We make them into a pair of boots, herring guts, a pair of boots, herring scales, paint our nails, herring's fins, needles and pins, herring's eyes, puddings and pies, herring's head, loaves of bread, and all manner of things. And of all the fish that swim in the sea, the herring is the one for me. How are you today? How are you today? How are you today, me henny ho? Oh, what do you do with the herring's tail? Oh, what do you do with the herring's tail? Oh, we brew it into beer and ale, herring's tail, beer and ale, herring's guts, a pair of boots, herring's scales, paint our nails, herring's fins, needles and pins, herring's eyes, puddings and pies, herring's head, loaves of bread, and all manner of things. And of all the fish that swim in the sea, the herring is the one for me. How are you today? How are you today? How are you today, me henny ho? Oh, wonderful. Well, Charlie had a herring wire down to Bailey's Bite. He got up, tended it, 'twas the middle of the night. It was late October, midnight black as tie, nothing out the window but a big cold stye, house like a cemetery, kitchen fire dead. I'm a damn good mind, says Charlie, to go on back to bed. A man who runs a herring wire, even on the side, is nothing but a slave to the goddamn tide. A man feels meager and a man feels old in that pitch black midnight, lonesome and cold. Chills in his stomach like 40,000 mice, the very buttons on his pants, little lumps of ice. Times he gets to feeling that it's no damn use. So Charlie, he poured a pitcherful in his orange juice. Then he felt a little better than he had before. So he had another pitcherful just to last him to the shore. Well, now down by them beach rocks, underneath a tree, Charlie saw something he thought he'd never see. Sparkling in the lantern light as he went to pass was three big diamonds in the frosty grass. Diamonds, says Charlie. Where'd they come from? I'll have to pick them up later. I always wanted some. So then he hauled in his dory, and she felt light as air. And in that pitch black midnight, he rowed out to tend the weir. Now out by the weir gate, Charlie found a big sea serpent swimming round and round. He had a head like a washtub, whiskers like thatch, breath like the flame on a Portland style match. Black in the lantern light, up he rose. He had a great big barnacle on the end of his nose. He looked Charlie over, surly and cross, and says, "Them fish you got in there belongs to my boss." "Fish," says Charlie, "fish in there? I never caught a fish since I built the damn wire." "Well," says the sea serpent, "nevertheless, there's 10,000 bushels, and that's a rough guess." Well, Charlie moved the lantern, and he gave them oars a pull, and soon he saw that wire was brim belly full. Fish rose out of the water a trillion at a time, and the side of each and every one was like a silver dime. "Well," says the sea serpent, "what are you going to do? They're uncomfortable, and they don't belong to you. So open that contraption up and let them go. Come on, shake the lead out. The boss says so."
"Oh, does he?" says Charlie. "Well, who the hell is he? Thinks he can step back and send word on up to me?"
Well, that sea serpent swirled around so fast he raised a water spout. Says, "You keep on, brother. You'll find out."
"Oh, you're nothing but a lie. You're so old and hoary. And get them filthy whiskers off the gunwale of my dory."
Well, that sea serpent fizzled, and he heaved up underneath, and he scunned back a set of jagged yellow teeth, and he came at Charlie with a gurgly roar. Well, Charlie let him have it with the port side oar, right on the noggin, hell of a knock. And that old sea serpent, he sank like a rock.
"Well, you go on back," says Charlie, "and you tell the old jerk not to send a boy to do a man's work."
Then over by that weir gate, tinkly and clear, a pretty little voice says,
"Yoo-hoo, Charlie dear."
"Now what?" says Charlie. "This ain't funny."
And that same sweet voice says,
"Yoo-hoo, Charlie honey."
"Now, sitting on a seine pole, right in the weir, was a little green mermaid combing out her hair."
"All right," says Charlie, "I see you, and I know who you come from. You get too."
And he let fly his bailing scoop. It landed with a clunk. And when the water settled, that mermaid, she had sunk. Then the whole ocean moved behind him with a mighty heave and a hiss, and a thundery, rumbly voice remarked, "I'm goddamn sick of this." And up come an old man. He was white from head to toe. He was whiter than a daisy field. He was whiter than the snow. And he was carrying a pitchfork with three tines on it, muttering in his whiskers, "Madder than a hornet. My sea serpent so lame that he can hardly stir. And my best mermaid, you've raised a lump on her. And you've been pretty sassy, calling me a jerk. And now the old man's come to do a man's work."
Well, now look, says Charlie, why don't you leave me be? You might be the old man of the sea, but I got to run a fish here locked up inside. If you keep frigging around, you're going to make me lose this tide.
Well, the next thing Charlie knew, he was lying on the sand. The painter to his dory was right beside his hand. He could see across the bay. It was calm and still and wide. It was full daylight, and it was high tide. Says Charlie, what am I about? The oars weren't wet. He hadn't been out. Oh, yeah. Oh, diamonds underneath that tree. Seems to me I found some. I better go see. But he couldn't find any. Not one gem, only three little owl turds with frost on them. And that's the ballad of The Night That Charlie Tended Ware by Ruth Moore. Well, let's see. Fish stories, fish songs, fish ballads. Catfish going upstream. Listen, this is your chorus. I know I don't have to teach you this one. Catfish going upstream. Catfish, where you been? Grab that catfish by the snout. Oh, Lord, I pulled that catfish out. Let's hear y'all now. Catfish going upstream. Catfish, where you been? Grab that catfish by the snout. Oh, Lord, I pulled that catfish out. Why, said the woodpecker in a tree. Well, I once courted a fair lady. She grew fickle and from me fled. Well, ever since my head's been red. Catfish going upstream. Catfish, where you been? Grab that catfish by the snout. Oh, Lord, I pulled that catfish out. Up stepped the blackbird, says to the crow, what makes that farmer hate us so? Well, it's been our case since we've been born. It's been our trade to pull up corn. Catfish going upstream. Catfish, where you been? Grab that catfish by the snout. Well, Lord, I pulled that catfish out. Up stepped the fish drake, says to the crane, oh, when we gonna get some rain? Well, the creek is all muddy and the pond's all dry. If it weren't for crawdads, we'd all die. Catfish going upstream. Catfish, where you been? Grab that catfish by the snout. Well, Lord, I pulled that catfish out. Well, I was walking on through that field. Well, a black snake bit me on the heel. Well, I whirled around and I run my best. Well, I bumped my head in a hornet's nest. as I was walking on down that road. Well, I spies a terrapin and a toad. Well, that terrapin, he began to sing. But that toad, he'd dance a pigeon wing. Catfish, catfish, going upstream. Catfish, catfish, where you been? Grab that catfish by the snout. Oh, Lord, I pulled that catfish out. All right. Oh, change the tape, change the tape, change the tape.
While he gets his breath back and while I change the side of the thing.
Yeah, if any of you want, you know, especially you floor sitters, wanted to stretch a little bit here, this is a good time for it here.